وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank and shower all his choices blessings on you, Hazrat Mawlana. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الله لا يستحيي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings he has showered upon us which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in a noble Quran that Allah ta'ala doesn't feel shy in Allah la yastahi. أن يضرب مثلا ما بعودة فما فوقها. It gives an example even of a mosquito or something just above that as well. So today we're going to be giving you a story about the jumping frogs and what we can learn from there. So a group of frogs, and this is a tamthili waqiya, a story by way of example. A group of frogs were traveling through the woods and two of them fell into a deep pit. So all the other frogs gathered around the pit. When they saw how deep the pit was, they told the two frogs that they were as good as dead. So the two frogs ignored the comments and tried to jump out of the pit with all their strength. So the other frogs kept telling them to stop, that they were as good as dead. Finally, one of the frogs took heed to what the other frogs were saying, gave up. He fell down and he died. The other frog continued to jump as hard as he could. And once again, the crowd of frogs yelled at him to stop the pain and just die. He jumped even harder and in his desperation, and finally he made it out. Now, this frog here that made it out was deaf and unable to hear the plea of the others. He thought they were encouraging him all the time. So what do we learn from this story here? We learn from the story here that there are those who will try and put you down. And if you take heed to what they are telling you, their negativity will rub off on you and you definitely will go down. But if you place your trust in Allah and you keep on trying like that dumb frog, he thought that they were spurring and, you know, urging him all along to come up and because he couldn't hear. And so what happens is eventually he made it out of that pit. So it goes to show that you have to have a positive impact in order to get a positive result. And always encourage somebody. Do not put other people down. And the least that you can do is make dua for a person. Then there's another interesting story. And this is the story of the bag of nails. So there's a little boy who had a very bad temper. So his father gave him a bag of nails and asked him to hammer a nail in the back fence every time he lost his temper. So the first day the boy drove 37 nails into the fence. Then it gradually dwindled down. The numbers started coming down. So he discovered it was easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all. So he told his father about it, and the father suggested that the boy now pull out one nail for each day that he was able to hold his temper. So now it was reverse. of the temper that he had. He had to nail in, and every time putting in a nail, and now he had to remove a nail when he withheld his temper. So the days passed, and the young boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. He removed them all from the fence. So the father, very intelligent, he took his son by the hand and led him to the fence. So he said, "You have done well, my son, but look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same again. So when you say things in anger, they leave a scar just like this one. It does not matter how many times you apologize, the wound does not heal." So one of the important things that we had learned in the companionship of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi is controlling one's anger. You know, he would say that what is the thing that is haram, but not only permissible, there's a reward in swallowing it. And he would say, "Your anger." That was the reply that he gave. So he laid a very, very great emphasis on hukukul ibad, the right towards fellow mankind. Do not break anybody's heart. Do not hurt anybody's heart. So anger, you know, if you aren't able to control yourself at that particular time, you know, go and make wudu, read Durood Sharif. If you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting down, and lie down. Because you do not know what may, you may just blurt out in your anger. La yaqdi al-qadhi wa huwa ghazban. Even a judge must not pass judgment when he is in a state of anger. So these are very, very important aspects. So one of the most important things in life is to be able to control one's temper, one's anger. It's a natural thing that a person has this in him, but to controlling it, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who swallow the anger, and they are forgiving to people. So how would we expect the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we aren't able to forgive? How would we expect Allah to forgive us if we are not able to forgive? So indeed, there's a very, very great lesson for us in the story of the bag of nails. So you can just try it on the lighter side. If you've got a wooden fence at home, every time you become angry, take a nice 4-inch nail and knock it in there, and then remove it, and you will still see that hole. And this is also a good way of giving an example to your children as well. Now, there's another beautiful story of just 5 more minutes. So while at the park one day, a woman sat down next to a lady on a bench near a playground. So she said, "That's my son over there," pointing to a little boy in a red sweater who was playing on the slide. "He's a fine looking boy," the lady said, and said, "That's my son on a swing in the blue sweater." Then looking at the watch, she called the son. She said, "Are you ready to leave, Samir?" So Samir pleaded, "Just 5 more minutes, mommy. Please, just 5 more minutes." So the lady nodded, and Samir continued to swing to his heart's content. So minutes passed, and the mother stood and called again to her son, "Time to go now." So again Samir pleaded. He says, 5 more minutes, mom. Just 5 more minutes." So the lady smiled and said, "Okay. So ma, you certainly are a patient mother," the other woman responded. So the lady smiled and then said, "My older son, Haytham, was killed in a road accident last year while he was riding his bike. So I never spent as much time with him as I should have, and now I would give anything for just 5 more minutes with him. I vowed not to make the same mistake with Samir. He thinks he has 5 more minutes to swing and play. The truth is, I get 5 more minutes to watch him play. I get some extra time with his company as well." So the 5 more minutes had a very, very meaningful, you know, outcome for this mother here, who realized the value of spending time with your children. Oh, we can remember in those days, you know, mothers spent so much time with their children, but then, you know, as the Carnegie Institute promoted the concept of studying, you know, from grade one up till matric. And I think over a century ago, there was no such a thing as matric. And yet your great, great brains, you know, produced great, great inventions and things in their lifetime without a formal education. You know, you may be studying mathematics and then decide to get into another field, and your mathematics may be of no use to you, or you delving into science or anything like that, and eventually you'll end up to be an accountant. So you try and do what is best, but they just keep you busy trying to take instructions for 12 years. And now it's not only 12 years, it's preschool, and the government has come out with something as grade naught or whatever it is, and then you get the minus factors as well, that it'll be compulsory to send your children, you know, to an institution. So the early years that a mother can spend with a child are very, very, very valuable. And that time is lost with a child when the child is spending it with other people for the bulk of the day. For an hour or two, it doesn't make a difference. You know, so you teach them how to mix with others, learn good manners, etc. But in most scenarios, you will find that even children who are 10, 11, 12 years old, when they go to a formal school, they come back with bad and evil ideas. It is a companionship at those particular institutions. So the mother must try and spend as much time with the children. Here's another story for our mothers also, when they are communicating with their children. Life is like a baking cake. So a little boy was telling his grandma how everything had been going wrong. School problems, family problems, health problems, problems with friends. So meanwhile, the grandma was baking a cake. She asked the grandson if he would like to eat the cake, which of course, he said he would like to eat the cake. So she said, "Here, have some cooking oil." "Yuck," said the boy. He says, "Cooking oil? How about a couple of raw eggs?" "Oh," the grandma said. Then the youngster pulled up his face. Then she said, "Would you like some flour then? Or maybe baking soda?" Then he said, "Grandma, those are all yucky things." To which the grandma replied, look at her reply. She says, "Yes, all those things seem unacceptable when seen in isolation. But when they are put together in the right way, they make a wonderfully delicious cake." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works the same way. Many times we wonder why He would let us grow through such bad and difficult times. But Allah knows that when He puts these things all according to His order, they always work for good. So we just have to trust Allah, and eventually they will all contribute to something wonderful. What an interesting story that is. In isolation, each problem may be so heavy upon us. Putting them all together, then you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even a greater plan for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us understand these concepts in life. And how beautiful is the life of a mu'min. Ajabal li amri al-mu'min. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how beautiful is the case of a mu'min. You know, in asabatu sarra fa shakara, when good befalls him, then he makes shukr. When asabatu darra fa sabara, and when difficulty befalls him, then he makes sabr. So in shukr and in sabr, he gets reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how wonderful it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin." Verily Allah is with those who exercise sabr and patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.